cosplayers of color, cosplayers who don't fit an idealized Western body type. Anyone else gets. I'm the luckiest cosplayer I could possibly be. And people still complain about me, anonymously or not anonymously. People still post very strange things about us on DeviantArt. Like, really strange things.
I think we'll get into that actually a little bit later. But specifically, though, real quick before we move along, I would like to say, would you say that also just the skills in making the costumes and as well as the props, I mean, do you think that that's also a big thing, that big DIY kind of ethic that you find in cosplayers also teaches them a skill? I mean, many people with these props designs and these costume designs, I mean, you would also say these are valuable trade skills in many ways, right?
They're valuable skills, whether you're making props or you're sewing. I can't count the number of times that people in my life have come to me and said, hey, Alice, I know you sew costumes. I just bought some pants and they're too long. Can you hem them? Knowing how to sew is a skill I think everybody should possess, at least at the most limited level of being able to put buttons back on your clothing or fix your own clothing when it's somehow damaged, because it's going to save you a lot of money and effort down the road if you learn how to put a button back on something. But beyond just the tangible skills that you learn in cosplay, whether it's sewing or patterning or, you know, heat gunning plastic or casting resin molds, those are valuable trade skills, but cosplay teaches a lot of higher level skills that are also really valuable. You know, they're really super valuable for teenagers and young people, especially. Skills like planning with an end goal in mind, being able to look at a big project and break it down into its discrete necessary parts is a really important critical thinking skill. That's something that I would love to see that be an elective that you could take at a school. You know, make a costume. Do that for a semester. Learn a whole bunch of different skills. Learn how to prioritize your tasks. Learn how to budget, learn how to time manage. Being a successful cosplayer should be your resume item.
So you would say probably cosplaying is a great way to teach a person, you know, not only individuality, but also independence.
Yeah. Oh, it's you teach, you express individuality, you teach independence, you teach self-sufficiency, and it can also be a really great way to form community and to kind of boost self-esteem. Even though there are those ratty anonymous detractors on the internet, people who really love what cosplayers do and are not shy about telling it, and those people are amazing.
Well, that's the kind of thing that we advocate here at the Black Flag Cast, so that's a wonderful thing to hear. Now getting down to the nitty gritty of it, I mean, what are your thoughts on Sailor Moon, especially, you know, recently, just this past weekend was the release of Sailor Moon Crystal. The manga has really made a splash in the United States and the new reprints and such. I mean, what are your thoughts on Sailor Moon itself? I mean, especially as they apply to, you know, your interest in doing this for cosplay.
I don't know if it was obvious from the documentary or my pursuits in life, but I passionately love Sailor Moon. It's probably my favorite fictional property, my favorite story, bar none. It is my favorite. In all of its many incarnations, and I will confess that I still haven't dived into the musicals, but in every other incarnation that Sailor Moon has existed in, I have followed it and adored it.
Well, what do you think of your live action counterpart in PGSM? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean,
I really, really enjoyed PGSM. If we're talking about Jupiter specifically,
Miyuzama, yeah.
She's precious. They're all so precious. And they were so young when they filmed that series. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that the other day, that I have always been very impressed with Miyusa Wai's turn as Sailor Moon. That's the Sailor Moon actress, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Her turn as Sailor Moon for woman, she very convincingly plays Sailor Moon, plays Usagi, up until you get into, like, the 30th, 40th episode somewhere in that neighborhood. And I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't seen this, because I think they should go in blind. I'm a big proponent against spoilers if you don't want spoilers. But she then very effectively shows that the ditzy, loving crybaby is not the only role she can play, and it's quite astonishing. But as far as Jupiter goes, I really liked her portrayal. I thought that they added a lot of nuance and depth to all of the characters in the live action that they didn't get in any of the other versions, because the manga, everything moved much faster. The pacing was much tighter in the manga. And the anime, a lot of space got taken up by barrel grandstanding and making evil plans and the monster of the day. Whereas comparatively in Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, more space is taken up by the interpersonal drama, which I love. You can just sink your claws into it. And less space is taken up by the kind of silly monster hijinks. As much as I love those, because I do.
Well, indeed. And what do you think about, the animated version? Susan Romans, she was one of the only ones who was a part of the anime from beginning to end. I mean, what are your thoughts on her portrayal of the character you portray in your cosplay?
She was the dub actress, or
she was the dub. Yes, I apologize. The English dub. Yeah.
No, it's been a very long time since I have watched the Sailor Moon dub. That was what I first saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have mixed feelings about the dub, because some of the voice performances were very dated. They were very appropriate to the 90s aesthetic of dubbing. The whole thing was, because, I mean, they edited the crap out of it. They changed everyone's names. They changed everything Japanese to American. They changed genders and sexualities left and right because it was the 90s and they felt like they had to. But I don't know. I can't specifically recall her performance.
All right. Well, but I hazard to guess that you're certainly looking forward to the new redub coming out, which will be unedited and would be more based to the Japanese edition, as well as the new Crystal.
Yeah. Oh boy. I'm excited about the redub. I'm very, very excited to be able to get the whole thing on DVD, dubbed and subbed, all the way through Stars, which you've never been able to get a legal copy of Stars in English before, so that's really exciting for me. I think I watched most of Stars in grainy, ill-translated YouTube videos one summer during college. I'm very excited for that. I'm excited to see what they do with the redub, knowing that it's going to be truthful to the actual classic anime. That they're not going to just, go changing things willy-nilly and cutting episodes. And I'm going to miss Sailor Says. I said this on Saturday. I had a party for the Sailor Moon Crystal release, actually, and I went on a long soliloquy about how I was going to miss Sailor Says, and I was going to miss the flying tiara transitions and the just sort of odd things they introduced in Old Lady British Luna, which I never knew why they made that choice, but they did. But I'm very excited for the redub. I'm excited to see what they do with a dubbing ethos that has come an incredibly long way since Sailor Moon first came to America. But that all really, really pales in comparison to how excited I am for Sailor Moon Crystal.
And would you say that you call yourself a sort of anime purist? And by that, I mean, do you think that, as some have told me that, you need to watch it subbed. Don't watch it dubbed. Your thoughts?
I used to feel that way. I used to absolutely be an anime purist. And this was back in the days of VHSs, where you had to pick. You had to go to your Suncoast Video and go to the anime section, which was half full of pornography anyway. And I was like a 14-year-old girl at the time, so that was
upsetting
for me. But I somehow survived. I matured. I became a well-rounded adult, despite, you know, venturing through the late 90s anime section at Suncoast Video. But you had to pick. Did you want your VHS dubbed or subbed? And after a couple of, you know, tentative forays in either direction, I went firmly into the subtitles camp. And I had been there for a really long time until I finally, I think, actually started watching some dubbed anime on Netflix. I watched, like, Orin High School Host Club years and years and years after it came out because it never really intrigued me at first blush. But I watched that and I said, okay, this is not as bad as I remember. This is not as absurd as I remember. So I've been revising my opinion. And I think really that if you love a show, you should watch both versions. If it has a good dub, if it has a well-localized dub, especially, because there are always going to be like jokes and puns in Japanese and references that unless the subbers are making furious notes in the margins, you're not really going to understand. And it's sometimes very hard to read those furious notes in the margins. I just rewatched all of Revolutionary Girl Utena and was delighted that they did put in a lot of notes that explained a lot of the Shadow Girl segments that are not either as funny nor as poignant if you don't get the Japanese puns. And you get the puns and you're like, ooh, that is relevant, that's applicable. But if you don't have that kind of, you know, furious notes scribbled on the margins of the screen, then watching a well-localized dub is going to impart even more information. And I don't think there's any reason if you love something that you shouldn't watch it twice, once in your native language and once in its native language.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my answer is changing my mind and maybe ask me again in the future and I may have a more nuanced position, even more nuanced than that one.
That sounds fair enough to me. Now, going on to to the character you portray, we kind of talked about the various actors' portrayals, but to you, from the manga to the anime to the live action, your thoughts on Jupiter, the character, what are they?
Oh boy. I mean, she keeps her character very well across multiple portrayals, which is not to say that I begrudge the differences in character that you get between... You know, like, Mars's character fluctuates wildly. Venus's character fluctuates wildly. Jupiter is pretty constant. I like that about her. I really, really like, as I said in the documentary, the duality inherent in her character, that she can occupy a very masculine archetype simultaneous to occupying a very feminine archetype. She's totally the mother bear. She's the homemaker. She's the girly girl. But she's also absolutely the ass kicker. She is the one who's going to rush in first and punch people, which is an amazing archetype, an amazing sort of locus of character traits to put into a fictional work. She's very easy to sympathize with, especially in the early seasons where they make a lot